Chapter 59 Gauntlet The Void. Degat hunkered down in the troop hold of the gunship, eyes down as he retoothed the belt on his chainsword. His warriors sat around him, similarly braced in restraint harnesses, their boots maglocked and breathing through their helms' respiratory systems in the zero gravity. Unclipping a bent adamantium tooth, Degat let it float away and quickly affixed another. Sharp enough to cut away his soul and send it screaming into the ether. His belligerent thoughts weren't echoed in his body language. Degat moved only when he needed to, as still as a statue and machine-like in his efficiency of motion. He breathed deeply, though. A helm slammed over his preferred rebreather mask for now, watching as the internal chronometer counted down the minutes to interception. Degat didn't care about the salamanders anymore, nor was he concerned by the Death Guard commander's orders. Who was this barbarian savage to order him around anyway? The thought was enough to raise a slight smile. No. Degat had only one objective in mind as he hurtled through the void alongside his kin. To find Barthusa Narek and to kill him. A warning siren signaled their proximity to the enemy vessel. She was firing and they were in range of her formidable arsenal. The pilot's voice, issuing through Degat's helm vox, informed them he was taking evasive action. Every one of the boarding craft launched from the Reaper's Shroud would be. Several would not be fast enough, but Degat knew his would not be amongst them. Fate demanded he meet Narek again. It had been foretold. On the bridge of the Reaper's Shroud, Lestigon watched the Hololith unblinking from his throne. 18 boarding craft, including one carrying the Preacher's warriors, sped across the gulf between the two ships. At full burn, the gunships would take a matter of minutes to reach the Charybdis. They would need to be swift. The salamanders had answered the threat by unleashing the ship's guns against the potential boarders. Lestigon had sent missiles amongst his flock of boarding craft, too. Each carried a virulent contagion, products of his destroyer cadre. Against the ship's armored hull, they would burn and degrade. Versus the mortal crew aboard, they would reduce skin to flensed bone. Rack! Lestigon rasped, summoning the attention of his shipmaster, who was watching the trajectory of the launched vessels almost as closely as his Death Guard overlord. Fire off a few salvos. Strip their shields. Cripple them. Everything dies aboard, but leave the vessel intact. I shall enter the Primarch's mausoleum myself and cut off his head. Wisely, subserviently, Rack did as bidden. The bridge of the Reaper's Shroud shook with the discharge of its broadsides a few moments later.
"You will find his skin tough, Lestigon," uttered Kor Galek.
Since his arrival aboard the Reaper's Shroud, the Preacher had been a near anonymous presence on the bridge. Though he wore his battle plate instead of the ridiculous and craven robes of the Prophet he claimed to be, Lestigon thought Kor Galek still looked less of a warrior than his wretched shipmaster.
He senses his usefulness ending, thought Lestigon, and considered how much longer he needed the word-bearer around. He also considered if he would honor the promise he had given to let him flee.
Lestigon wrapped his kukra, his gauntleted fist emitting a metal clang as it struck the blade.
Then I shall strike hard and with purpose. I remind you of our agreement. I take the fulgurite, the rest is yours. You are in no position to remind me of anything, preacher. Pray your war dog succeeds in leading my warriors to the sanctuary.
Cor Gallic said nothing further, which made Lestigan smile.
As soon as I have Vulcan's body.
Down in the launch bays, the Charybdis shuddered as its shields were struck by a punitive barrage from the two enemy ships. Labor crews and engine seers toiled hard to get the gunship ready. There were fighters already primed, but too few pilots to fly them. An entire arsenal lying fallow since the Sirens had their slaughter. Every able-bodied man and woman not charged with keeping the ship moving and fighting was guarding the bridge. Out of warp, the mortal defenders could move freely now, but were much diminished. Despite the hopelessness of their plight, everyone had ash streaked across his or her face to echo and honor their lords. More than 20 salamanders had assembled on the deck. In the end, Mugarna and Baduk had volunteered to stay behind and protect the bridge. Zathen was curiously absent, but Numeon had no time to search for the veteran sergeant now. The rest stood reverently around the casket of the Primarch, which had been brought up from the cargo hold and hovered at waist height on anti-gravity impellers. No sign came from the Lord of Drakes that he would or could stir. His face was as still as a rock, his flesh as inviolable as obsidian.
"Will he breathe still?" asked Abidemi in a low whisper.
"Once he is returned to the fire, he will do more than breathe," answered Numeon. "He will rise, reborn."
Zetos murmured the Primarch's name under his breath, echoed by Gargo. An engine seer signaled the gunship was ready. As the gang ramp to the hold lowered, Numeon raised Valkyr on the vox.
"Brother, we are about to embark."
"And so our journey ends at last.
Stand fast, Valkyr, and know your part in this miracle we have wrought.
Be swift, Numeon. As soon as they realize what we have done, you will be hunted."
"I will not be stopped now, brother. Vulcan lives!"
Numeon was about to sign off when Valkyr stopped him.
"Bring our father peace, Artellus. Return him to the earth where he belongs. Then allow yourself some peace. Don't torture yourself anymore."
The warm glow of determination faded in Numeon, replaced by an icy chill. Valkyr did not want him to doubt, merely to temper his hope. He recalled the vision given unto him by Magnus of standing before the mountain and the sky red with flame. A melancholy mood threatened until Numeon crushed it with his belief. They had crossed the ruin storm and breached the veil. In spite of everything and all they had sacrificed, Nocturne was within their reach. Nothing was impossible. Vulcan would rise. All they needed to do was reach Deathfire. The gang ramp hit the deck with a resounding clang. At Numeon's silent order, the last of the salamanders escorted their father aboard. Abidemi led them, while Zetos lingered, evidently picking up on his brother's unease. The deck shook again, more violently this time, as the shields collapsed entirely.
"Nothing stands in their way now, brother," Numeon said to Zetos.
"They'll be on us in a few more seconds," he replied. "We need to launch and hope we can slip by any cordon that may have been put around the ship."
Numeon shook his head. "There'll be no cordon. They won't be expecting us to flee. They'll think we're going to fight."
"And should we fight?"
I would gladly die for the brave souls aboard the Charybdis. But no, Zitos. Getting our father back onto Nocturnian soil is too important to risk.
Then why the doubt? Something I've seen, brother. Something that I think was just for me, meant for me. For some reason I cannot yet fathom.
The hull trembled as the Charybdis shed armor plate like scales. Every salvo was intended to wound, not kill. Once the Death Guard or the Word-Bearers had what they wanted, all restraint would end. That staying of their full military might would give Essenzi some advantage, at least.
Our path beckons, brother. One that began on Macragge and shall end on Nocturne with the resurrection of Vulcan.
Numeon nodded, and they made for the gunship. As the gang ramp closed and the internal looms of the troop hold flickered on to lift the gloom, tocsins sounded. The boarding craft had made contact. Enemies were gaining ingress. It was time to leave. Engines roaring, the gunship speared through the launch tunnel, leaving the fire of afterburners in its wake until it hit the black void, and the war between three ships unfolding across it.